And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Oh, darn it, Bill was on his phone. I thought maybe I was
going to you're not
him.
Catching me off guard. I'm sharp as a tack today.
Bill's Rona is over!
Pa-pow!
Yeah, I'm Aaron Ryan.
Yeah, and I am Bill Cundiff. And
you are. You're all that.
Oh, it's about me right now. Our sponsor today or this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. Pape's got everything you need in the way of John Deere products. Go up and see them. They got mowers, tractors, implements, everything you want. And got a fully stocked parts department and service department ready to go. So if you need something worked on or you need parts for your tractor, go up and see them. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da!
Yeah. Hey, and I'd also like to give a, for lack of a better term, a shout-out.
Although you hate the term.
I do.
I know that. It hurts you.
Yeah. One of our local businesses, Businessware, is a IT solutions business here in Reading. And they can do pretty much anything from backup to malware to voice over internet. I mean, they got all kinds of stuff they can do for your business. Go up and see them. Talk to Wayne or give them a call at 223-3333.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
As long as it rhymes with three.
Yeah.
We saw them in the grocery store last
evening.
And interesting, we were talking about we got the virus in January. Almost made it through the whole thing, too. And then got snaked right at the end. So we got it in January, and they said, oh, yeah, we got it in February. And we were kind of talking about, you know, this, that, or the other. Something about the shots. And there's some lady who was buying, I don't know, she was buying onions or something. And she goes, oh, I had the shot, and I got a terrible rash. And then by the time we got down to the green onions, there was another lady, she jumped in, she had also had bad things.
Yeah,
it was pretty interesting. So
thank goodness most of that is behind us now.
But the bad effects of the shot were not as rare. So, you know, if you're feeling spicy, go through the grocery store and just, you know, talk about the shot to yourself and see if anybody jumps in on it. Because honestly, we started a full confab there in the vegetable department.
Mm-hmm.
Not hard to do. Okay, there's something else. Oh, I know. You know, the archives, I know that people do make use of them, but realize that you can do whatever you want with those. You can burn them to CDs and sell them to raise money for your group. You can send them to friends. They're free. A lot of stuff these days has a paywall. You can only get to the good stuff if you pay them extra. Our stuff doesn't cost anything. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us, you can listen to like 11 years of material. And we really try hard not to do things that are like super local, you know, like California-centric, because obviously there's so many bad things going on here, we'd have to do 10 shows. But we try to do things that are a little bit broader. And I'm looking to have Dr. Philip Reese on again about the marijuana issue. He just released a paper last week that he's an Australian geneticist, and he released a paper last week about cannabis in all forms. So hemp, CBD, the whole, you know, the whole mess has caused an increase in childhood cancer, 49%.
Increase.
So,
and it's tied to the cannabis use?
Use and exposure. So it might be growing in your area, you know, all these different things. And so for all the people out there that are still thinking this has nothing to do with them, oh, it so has something to do with you. Not to mention the disaster area that these places are causing. One lady, they took over her property here outside. I think she's outside the city limits of Reading, or maybe not. But 42 acres on the top of a mountain. They took over her property, grown dope up there. It took her several years to get her property back, to get enough law enforcement there to drive the cartel off that mountain. But it cost her $20,000 to clean up the property.
Oh, just from what was left on the ground.
All the chemicals and everything. $20,000. So you own a piece of property that you couldn't use for years. She had gotten a permit for a well and had the well drilled. And the cartel moved in and was using the well. So, they, you know, thanks for the well, lady. And thanks for the property. And every time they tried to go up there, they were met with people with pretty serious firearms. And obviously, they couldn't get up there. So, you know, whether you ever intend to live in a rural area or not, that all that stuff's going into the water table. It's going into all the animals that turn into the food that you eat, the crops that go into the food that you eat. This is something that I just don't think people planned on this. Let's legalize it, and it'll kill the black market. Everything will be all clean and lovely. And it's like, yeah, it'll
get rid of the crime, too.
Yeah, it actually mushroomed the black market and the crime. So the sequel to Cartelville is being filmed up here in Northern California, and that will be out by summer, I think. So we'll definitely keep you up to speed on that. But if that's not an issue you're really plugged in on, I would encourage you to at least take a look at it peripherally, because it's a big deal, and it does affect you. Nothing else. It's your tax dollars. You know, why can't the police get to your house in a timely fashion? Oh, I don't know. They might be chasing around a Hmong or a Chinese or a Mexican or a Russian or a Bulgarian cartel out in your county.
You're not being a bigot, are you?
No, I thought I'd list everybody
that
I could think of. Yeah. I'm sure I left somebody out. I'm sorry if I left your group out. You know, feel free to call the station, and Travis will send me a message.
Well, there's the Caucasian cartel, too.
Don't oh, there's that one. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, I forgot. Yeah. What was I thinking?
Now we've covered them all.
It's just ugly. So
now, they just got done filming in Shasta County.
They
right?
didn't film. They interviewed.
Oh, interviewed.
They interviewed a whole bunch of people on the issue, and they're coming back. They did do some drone footage and that kind of thing, and they were blown away, to put it mildly, at the volume. And they've been working on this for a long time, a couple of years. So they thought they, you know, kind of knew what was going on, and then they came up here like, oh, my God. So get ready for that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really good. They're looking to get more national exposure. They're with the Daily Caller News Foundation. So a lot of times it's, you know, a couple guys and a camera, and yeah, they can make a dent in it, but these guys actually have some horsepower. So we're sort of excited. I think it'll help. And bad news is, though, if you know people in Oklahoma, we've heard that that's where they're migrating next. So the people that are being driven out of Northern California, I guess Oklahoma's looking like a good bet.
Hmm.
So if you know people who live there and they're thinking, oh, yeah, let's legalize commercial growing and let's, you know, get some pot stores going and stuff. Yeah, you might not really actually want to do that. It might be a bad plan. So did I forget anything else? No?
No, I think you pretty well covered
it. Our guest today, we have not had on since September. We haven't even had him on this year. Last time we talked to him,
we got behind on our payments. So
the $1.87.
Yeah,
September of 2021 was the last time we talked to Dr. Lyle Rapacki. He is a private sector intelligence, behavioral analysis, and threat assessment specialist. Bill, can you repeat that back?
Negative.
June of 2010, which is like right around the time we met him, really. He has provided selected members of the Arizona legislature intelligence briefings on border security and threats to Arizona sovereignty. He also receives, analyzes, and disseminates critical intelligence from and to law enforcement. With, my print is really too small for me. And I have this stupid curtain open. Can you pull that curtain down? I can't see a darn thing. I need it dark in here. The light is hurting my eyes. He's the author of dozens of white papers, bulletins, and briefings, many of which have received distribution to and by local, state, and federal law enforcement, intelligence, and public safety agencies nationwide. He's the owner of Sentinel Intelligence Services, which carries out these functions as well as provides consultations to elected officials in and out of Arizona. And he's got a bachelor's in political science and a master's in counseling from Northern Arizona University. He'll be using his counseling tools on you, Bill. That's what he's doing today.
I've been
spoiler
looking forward
alert.
To it. Yeah, I have a lot to talk about.
And his doctorate from Clayton College of Natural Medicine. He specializes in the treatment of psychological disorders, which makes him perfect for us. Just perfect. And he worked a lot on the election in Arizona. And we always laughed. We always said, we should do a show about nothing, you know, like Seinfeld. And I didn't want to call it a show about nothing today, so I just put all or nothing. So we're either going to talk about all of it or none of it. I'm not sure which way we're going. But Dr. Lyle, what's happening in Arizona besides the fact we're finally on the same time, thank goodness?
Well, hello, guys.
Well, it's
been quite a while, and I think part of the reason is because Bill's last two checks bounced.
I know. I apologize for that.
Yeah.
I usually check that before I actually put it in the mail. But she may have tapped it once it hit the mail, and then, you know, it wasn't there.
If Bill sends you a check, you're in trouble because he's not allowed to use the checks. I don't even think he knows where they are.
The checks I get are always pre-filled out. I don't get it.
Here, Bill, take this.
Well, I was really excited when I saw the first one for $1.87 because I thought, oh, my goodness, they did raise me.
An inflation. It's only fair.
It's happening.
Well, I didn't go down that route. I just was excited to see that there was a 5-cent increase, and I was excited, and then it didn't make it through. I thought, oh, that could happen. I mean, we've all done that. And then the second one came through, and that didn't make it through. And then if it wasn't for Aaron sending me a bag of pennies, which we had to count out.
Are you kidding me? That would have cost me a fortune.
Yeah, there'll be no more pennies in the mail.
Yeah, can you imagine?
The freight's killing us.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank you, because I owed postage on it. So it showed up that I owed postage on the So I'm out like 32 cents right now for We the People.
Cost me $1.63 to send a birthday card and a tiny aluminum circle with printing on it to my sister. $1.63. I was like, are you kidding me? And so I sent them both the same day, and they both basically went about the same distance. One sister got it in 4 days, and the next one it took 3 weeks. So, yeah, we're not going to mail you anything.
No, thank you.
You're in another state. You'll never see it. It'll never get there.
For the viewers listening to this now going, what? What are they talking about?
Insane.
This has been going on for quite a while, ladies and gentlemen, across America and into Bulgaria. I think you have a group. I have a group
in
Bulgaria now.
We have a startup group there in Bulgaria.
Actually, we had a lot of Ukrainians.
I thought so. Yeah.
In the last 30 days, it's like 99, I think, hits out of Ukraine. And I thought,
Yay.
Wow. I thought they were
bless
really busy. So God bless them if they're still
plugged
in.
Bless their hearts. Well, we've been kidding about, I don't even know how it started, you guys, years ago, but we started kidding about I wasn't back on in a week or two, or you wanted me on and I couldn't do it. And I finally one day said, well, if you'll pay me what I'm worth. And I think Bill piped up and said, well, I think it's $1.50 an hour. And I said, well, that's good, or something like that. And so over the years, I think we've been raised now 35 cents. I think I'm up to $1.85 an hour or show, something like that.
Yeah.
It's just been crawling. Well,
it's been really slow.
It has. And then you stopped telling us all the trick stuff at the border, and we started talking about the election. And, well,
we all
know that's really where the money is in the elections.
You're absolutely right. I was listening to you share, you know, all the years I've been privileged to be on your show, and I'm going, wow, we really have covered a lot, and it's all true. And then 2 years ago, my life changed big time when I was asked to coordinate the joint legislative hearing on election integrity in Maricopa County, Arizona. That's Phoenix, Arizona.
And that's where the wheels came off. Hey, Lyle, hang on two seconds. Let's take a break before you start that, because we have a lot of, I mean, in all seriousness, which, of course, is incredibly hard for us to do. But in all seriousness, people are super curious about what's going on with that. So, yeah, we would love an update. That's coming right around the corner. But in the meantime, this is why Lyle can't get any money. And you're listening to, I found the perfect song for it. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
All the gold. Somebody
else's name. So if you're dreaming about California, it don't matter at all where you've played before. California's a brand new game.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul, then it's just your body.
Yeah, so that was for all the cartel members. We know what to do with them. And I'm not going to say send them to Oklahoma because that's not very nice.
No.
So,
we're going to find out what is happening in Arizona.
Part two.
Yeah.
Actually, it's more than that's the only one I know, though. So, Lyle, what's going on in Arizona these days with the old election thing?
Well, we've kind of hit a point where not much is happening publicly. We're praying that the Attorney General of Arizona will take all the evidence that has been very judiciously submitted and do something on it. I pray I'm wrong, but I think he'll drag it out and do very little. I pray I'm wrong. I'll buy the coffee and bagels.
He's had it for how long? Because
he hasn't had it as long as people are thinking. Let's go back, if you don't mind, 2 years ago.
Whew, wow. Really?
Yeah. November 30th of 2020 is when the first joint legislative hearing occurred in Maricopa County, and that's when Mayor Giuliani and his team arrived. And we put on a one day, it was like a 10-hour, literally a 10-hour review of the evidence that had been gathered at that time showing election fraud, alleged election fraud at that time. Now it's no longer alleged. The evidence is overwhelming. From that hearing, which I was allowed to coordinate, that was my fifth joint legislative hearing I've coordinated over the years, and people keep asking me, why do you keep doing it? I don't have an answer. It's like herding kittens when you work with that many elected officials and have them moving in one direction. No, Senator, you got to go this way. Well, I want to go. I understand that, but we got to go this way. And I kid with them, but they're very, very polite, and they're very respectful, and they listen to me, I think because I'm bigger than a lot of them, and I holler. But moving them all for a whole day, actually for a couple of days, because I had to house them, security, media, every aspect of the legislative hearing fell under my jurisdiction, and then I had a team of six department heads, if you will, that coordinated each of their aspects and reported to me. So it was a massive undertaking. It was the first time in the history of the nation that such a hearing ever occurred. From that hearing, we went to the Arizona legislature and said there is sufficient evidence to warrant an investigation, in this case, a forensic evaluation. At that time, the legislature said we don't have any jurisdiction, and so it took a good week to teach them. Now, that's not a slam against the Arizona legislature, because the same conferences, the same consultations have occurred in numerous legislatures across the nation. Under the Constitution, Article 2, Section 3, we do have the right to have our legislators review an election and to even decertify. That is not the business of the Congress. It's the business of the state legislature. So all of this had to be taught. Once that was accomplished, which was a burden in it also of itself, a forensic evaluation was ordered by the state Senate, and that's where you heard for about 6 months Doug Logan and the Cyber Ninjas had been retained to come in and do a full and complete forensic evaluation on the electoral process in Maricopa County, Arizona. Again, this is the first time in the nation this had ever been undertaken. So there were no rule books. There was no map. Were mistakes made? Yes. If it had to be done again today, it would go a lot smoother because we'd already worked through a lot of the problems and the cul-de-sacs, if you will. The election forensic evaluation took place over several months. 16 states sent legislative delegations to Arizona to review the electoral evaluation, the forensic evaluation, to sit and be briefed. And then they went back to their state legislatures and started the process, just like Arizona had done months before. It sped up because Arizona had laid the groundwork, and sure, so they were able to borrow from Arizona's mistakes. Not one state ever made fun of Arizona. Not one state ever called Arizona out or embarrassed Arizona. While they may have acknowledged certain mistakes that they were going to correct in their own legislature, not one state ever made fun of anything connected to what Arizona was doing. And I want to say that because that is really quite a remarkable feat in and of itself. They realized that what was undertaken by the state of Arizona had never been undertaken in the history of this nation. And it was quite complex and daunting. If your viewers, listeners, will go back to my show, which came out of all of this, called Arizona Today, they can listen and view my interviews with Colonel Phil Waldron, Doug Logan, Senator Borelli, Representative Fincham, on many aspects associated with the forensic evaluation, and they'll learn a whole bunch. We had to be selective initially because of some of the sensitivity of the intelligence, but as the weeks and months wore on, we were able to open the curtain a little bit more, and you'll even hear me say that on my show. We turned all that evidence into the Attorney General. It also went to President Trump directly. And then some folks got a hold of it and began to report on it, and they sensationalized it, and that made it more difficult because there were just some facts that were just not true and some speculations, and that just made it more complicated and politically more explosive. But hardcore evidence had been turned in showing that electoral interference and fraud had occurred in Maricopa County, Arizona. Now, the way that came about is a number of people in Maricopa County, Phoenix area, went to Representative Fincham and a couple of other legislators and complained about their ballots or about multiple ballots being sent to them or different names of individuals coming to their own house. Even though they've lived in the house for 25 years, other names were coming in as registered voters. So that's how all this came about. During the course of the investigation, we found out that 16 states had been targeted to flip on election eve from Trump to Biden. This is all fact now. This is not supposition. On December 13th, December, January, February, March, so 2.5 months ago, we held another joint legislative hearing down in Tucson, actually Oro Valley, which is just north of Tucson, Arizona. And again, we did a joint legislative hearing. It was all day, and we had subject matter specialists and forensic individuals testify and present evidence, not hypothetical theories, to the joint legislative panel. And again, I coordinated every aspect of that. During that hearing, it was uncovered that 32,000 errant ballots had been submitted. And so when you take a look at the state of Arizona and Joe Biden outnumbering President Trump by 10,000 votes to win, it's just not true. 32,000 errant ballots just in Tucson area alone.
So what overall, was uncovered would have made a difference.
I didn't hear you, Bill.
I say what you've uncovered then would have made a difference in the outcome.
Absolutely, because overall, when you add Pima County, the Tucson area, Maricopa County, the Phoenix Valley of the Sun, and another county that just has not been named, I won't name it, but we have the absolute evidence on that county also. There were three counties in the state of Arizona that were compromised, and all in all, there were approximately 72,000 to 74,000 votes that were compromised. Now, when you then take a look at 16 other states where the same situation occurred, almost, what can I say, almost to the dot, to the T, to the I dotted and the T crossed. I mean, the machines were compromised, the ballots were duplicated, the machine, all voting stopped anywhere from 11 o'clock at night to 1 in the morning, depending on the state. And then 2 to 3 hours later, the machines and everything came back alive. And when they came back alive, Biden was ahead. We learned that during that 2-3 hour period, some states, maybe a 4 hour period, where the things were shut down, the numbers were changed. The ballots were changed. New ballots were introduced. All that's now evidentiary. It's not hypothetical. When you go back 2 years ago, we had very strong prima facie evidence, but we did not have prosecutorial evidence. We had reasonable suspicion, which is a lesser degree of evidentiary hearing, but we did reach the level of prima facie, which you could then go to court. However, we did not have the level which we now have as evidentiary prosecutorial evidence. We now have that, and that has been submitted to the Arizona Attorney General. The Arizona Attorney General was authorized to do a full and complete criminal investigation and was given $12 million by the state legislature to conduct such a legislation. He assigned a task force to it, including four investigators that I'm aware of. There may have been more, but four that I'm aware of. These are all seasoned criminal investigators, law enforcement investigators, as well as deputy assistant attorney generals in the area of organized crime, fraud, and related areas, and they have undertaken the review of the evidence that's been submitted. They've undertaken the interviews of key individuals and interrogatories, and that has now finished about 3 weeks ago, depending on who you talk to, 3 weeks ago, maybe on some of them 4 weeks ago, so about a month, or just shy of a month. So we're now in the phase of waiting to find out what the results might be and what process he might take. I will tell you that there is clear evidence, evidence, not theory, not my opinion, but there's clear evidence that the Maricopa County supervisors could be prosecuted. The director of elections, the recorder, and the secretary of state of Arizona. There's that much evidence, not hypotheses, not theory, not opinion, evidence. So will that happen? I don't know. The same thing is happening in 16 other states. I just received a report from Georgia that the Georgia legislature has been investigating, as Arizona did, and Georgia was one of the 16 states that sent a delegation to Arizona, and they went ahead and retained an elections integrity group. They were commissioned by the state legislature, and the gentleman ahead of that is Alex Halderman, and he is a Lexington security, cybersecurity specialist, and he has turned in a 25,000 word report with evidence clearly demonstrating that the voting machines in Georgia in the last national election suffered from, I'm quoting, quote, suffering from specific highly exploitable vulnerabilities that allow attackers to change votes despite the state's purported defenses. This report then was submitted to a federal judge who has squashed it. He has refused to allow the process to go on in the court. He's refused to have the evidence presented in court. He's refused to take any further action. And yet the evidence is overwhelmingly and sickeningly clear, just as it's turned out to be in Arizona, Michigan, Wisconsin, and I can name several other states. The states have done an incredible, wonderful, integrous job following Arizona. Again, learning from the mistakes of Arizona, not castigating Arizona, but then going ahead and putting together their own legislative hearings. I can tell you that after the Oral Valley down in Tucson 2 months ago, well, December 13th, after that joint legislative hearing, 11 states held joint legislative hearings on voter integrity. 11 states. I had in my VIP section for the Oral Valley joint legislative hearing, I had candidates for Secretary of State from 5 states present. And they were there specifically to continue the process of being briefed and learning what they can to take back to their own states. One of them was California. I can also tell you California did not go ahead and follow through on this, but 2 counties in California did on their own begin the process of looking at their own counties. The state legislature in socialist California would not have anything to do with this, but 2 counties in California did. But other states held joint legislative hearings, including Nevada, who initially was opposed to all of this. Nevada held 2 joint legislative hearings. They held one, and then about a month later, they held a second one, and both had evidence, again, presented of prima facie level showing ballot integrity issues and further the voting machine issues, just like Arizona, just like Wisconsin, just like Georgia, just like Michigan. This entire process in 16 states is the same because the same system was at play to put Biden in and to remove President Trump.
Do you know, as far as the machines, I know we're just about out of time here, but as far as the machines go, has there been anything done to prevent this from happening in the
midterms? We're going to have to answer that on the other side.
Okay.
So you can mull that over.
Yeah, mull
that over.
Yeah.
I got a couple of songs for to motivate you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. That's my job.
You're always so thoughtful.
I know.
Always thinking of somebody.
I know.
Else.
As long as I can't send you all the gold in California because we live nowhere near Beverly Hills, so obviously that's a problem. but they have a lot of criminals down there, so I would imagine the gold is dwindling. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Dirty deeds and they're done to cheating. Dirty.
And that about sums up the media coverage on the Arizona fraud investigation.
Yeah.
Bill had a question, though.
Yeah, what was my question?
I don't know. I thought I'd put you on the spot,
machines. Do you think they've really done anything since then to prevent that from happening again?
No.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of.
What has been proven is that the Dominion voting system machines were compromised in 16 states, as I briefly outlined before the commercial. The report that just went in to the U.S. District Judge, Amy Totenberg, who she has since classified this as non-public, but I hope to be able to release the report publicly, because it's been being submitted to elected and other officials across the nation. So I hope to have a copy, and when I do, I will send it to Aaron so you all can publish it. But that report shows clearly the evidence, not hypotheses or theories, that the machines were all compromised in 16 states. And that the tallies that were reported on Election Eve were false, and that's been proven, and that President Trump did win the last election. Excuse me.
Wow.
Now,
and so when this all... Okay, so the machines... Let's be more specific on the machines. Was this happening at the polling places, or was this happening when they all were aggregated at the end, or both?
No. It was happening in polling places. We have evidence that shows clearly that portable laptop computers, excuse me, were positioned to alter the voting as it came in. So if I voted for Aaron, that vote could be altered and sent to Bill. The next vote coming in for Bill would go to Bill. The next vote coming in for Aaron would go to Aaron. The next two votes coming in for Aaron would go to Bill, if you get my drift.
In other words,
they can manipulate.
Bottom line, sure. Aaron's getting ripped off and Bill's going into office, which makes no sense.
Yeah.
There were two satellites used, and we know both of those satellites and the numbers and the IP and all the other technical stuff about them. We also know that Dominion, a year before, went through a dry run. We know which state that was done. I'm not going to repeat. I can't repeat that yet. But we know which state that was done, and we have copies of the manuals and the teaching manuals and the training where that was done. We know who attended that training from each of the 16 states. So that would be Arizona, Wisconsin, Georgia, Nevada, Michigan. We know what they went through. We know the training that they went through. We have all that outlined by their own documents. So this was an extremely sophisticated, multidimensional attack on the United States. It started 4 years before the election, meaning when President Trump won, they began to go to work to make sure that he would not be reelected. We have that evidence. It's not supposition or hypothesis. We knew which countries were involved. There were six countries that were involved. China truly led. That's not opinion. Russia had very little to next to nothing to do with it. So it's not this Russia crap that they've stirred up.
Yeah.
It was China. Venezuela was involved. Cuba.
Well, don't forget the Macedonians.
Oh, no, they were in Hillary's email.
Oh, that's right. They were in
Hillary. They were after Hillary.
That's right.
Come on, Bill.
Correct.
All right,
sorry.
So this was an extremely sophisticated, very expensive, multidimensional process, and that's part of what's been so complicated when you go back and take a look and do the evaluations. It's just not a simple matter.
Right.
Let me give one other example of the simplicity, but also the complexity of this. I know what I just said. It sounds like I contradict myself, and I did, because that's what we've been dealing with for 2 years. If you have 100 $1 bills in a stack, and we count them, all three of us, I count them, and it comes up to 100. Bill does, and it comes up to 95, because Bill is very cheap on that. And then Aaron counts them, and it comes up to 100. So each of us count them, and we have 100 $1 bills. We would all agree that that stack is $100. Then we would all sign off on that. And they did that on voting. But what was not reported was when we count those 100 $1 bills, 20 of them were from Poland, 10 were from Bulgaria, 5 were from China. So really, when you add up the $1 bills in U.S. currency, we only had, let's say, 75. But they were counted as 100, but only 75 were legitimate. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Yep.
So when they say we counted the ballots and there were 100 ballots, that's true. When they stated that the 100 ballots showed clearly that they were $1, if you'll allow me my analogy here, $1 ballots, that's true too. And when they add it up and it's 100, that's true too. So on the surface, everything was true. What they're not telling you is when you go in and do the forensic evaluation, you come up with what I just suggested, you know, $1 bills from Poland, China, Bulgaria, whatever. So in the final analysis, out of that stack of 100 $1 bills, only 75 are American currency, 25
legitimate,
were foreign or counterfeit.
Right.
We also know there was counterfeit ballots. That's been proven. That's one of the reasons Arizona undertook legislation during this legislative session, which is still ongoing, to change, alter, if you will, and create a whole new ballot that cannot be duplicated, cannot be counterfeited. It's been on one of my shows where we actually showed the ballot. Since that time, that ballot has now been adopted by 32 states in America. So once again, Arizona has led the way.
Nice.
In developing another step, or if you will, toward election integrity.
Right. Now, because ultimately, the machines are going to have to match those ballots.
There you go.
You know,
that's the idea.
Yeah.
Well,
that's part of the idea. The other part is to do away with mail-in voting, unless you're military or unless you can prove it's proven and it's verified that you're infirmed or in a hospital setting. Other than that, there's the big discussions in 32 states as to having it, and we used to have it, if you remember, election day off. In other words, either businesses were closed for election day or you were allowed to leave work to go vote, but you had to vote at a precinct.
Yeah.
That's now being resurrected.
And most of those precincts stay open past 5 o'clock anyway. I mean, so most people can get off work.
Yeah, the only time it's a problem is if you happen to be out of town.
Yeah.
But
correct. But the idea in Arizona has led the way on this again. I'm not tooting them. I guess I am.
But, go ahead. Arizona.
I don't mean it that way. But Arizona has really been on the forefront of this, and the other states have been gracious to support Arizona, cheer Arizona on, learn from Arizona. I know I've talked to 4 or 5 states, and in the process of doing legislative hearings. But I know, like Senator Borelli and Representative Fincham, who have both led the way in these joint legislative hearings, they have been just inundated with consultations with their colleagues in other states. So that, you know, credit goes to them. if you go back to my show, and Arizona Today, let me put a plug in if you don't mind, and it's fun, but also kind of serious. I mean, Arizona Today came about because I thought Arizonans, and you can laugh at this, I have, many people have, and I still laugh at it. I'm not technologically savvy, and everybody knows that. And on my shows, I have cybersecurity, national security people that you'll see the conversations with, and they all know, Dr. Lyle, you know, don't touch the computer. What do you need? We'll do it for you. It's not because I'm
don't push
better
any buttons.
Than them, or I'm, just step away from the computer, please. And we've all joked about it, but I can cut and paste, by the way, and I'm very good at that, by the way. But other than that, I think everybody who knows me says, no, Dr. Lyle, we'll do it for you. What do you need? Mm-hmm. And it's not because I'm better. It's just they don't want me messing up anything. So I don't understand a lot of this crap, this technology stuff. I screw things up. And I'll study it, and I'll look at it, and I'll look at it, and I'll sit right with you at your elbow, and I'll do it. And about an hour later, I've got it all messed up again. It's just not in my wheelhouse. So you'll hear me on the show. I'll say, oh, I have people. I have people that do that.
Bill has people. That's why he's not allowed to touch the checkbook.
But I started Arizona Today because right after the Maricopa County Joint Legislative Hearing, I thought Arizonans deserved to hear what had just taken place in Maricopa County, Phoenix. It was nationally covered. We had 7-8 media, national media, One American Network, Bright Right Side, Breitbart, oh my gosh, I'm screwing up already, Bannon, Steve Bannon. We had 7-8 national media outlets that carried it all day long. They were superb. And I thought Arizonans needed to know a little bit from behind the curtain, as much as I could share, because there was a number of things I couldn't at that time. And so I at the time I was working with Prescott E-News, and I said I couldn't write some things because I'm not allowed to discuss certain things, but maybe I can do, and I didn't even understand the words. I said, like, well, I do a podcast, or I go on camera and say some things, and they said yes. So they put me in front of a camera, and I sat down in a chair, and I was talking to Arizonans. Now, you can tell how sophisticated I am not. Within 10 days, it was all over the nation, and I wasn't geared for that. I was geared for just talking to Arizonans. I wanted Arizonans to know what had happened in their own backyard. And technology, as you all well know, and you're smiling, I have no doubt, is so sophisticated. There is no such thing as, let me just share this with little community. It gets out everywhere. But me being so sophisticated, I didn't know that. It was all over the nation. And within 10 days, I started receiving mail. And it got to the point, and I have so many people who can validate this, it was taking 5 hours a day to open the mail coming in. We had that much mail. And people across America were just phenomenally. It's very humbling. The support, the kind words, the prayers, the dollars they sent in to help defray the cost. And there was tremendous cost to all this. Gas money alone, and I'm not even talking $5 a gallon like we are today.
I was going to say, and now you're due for a major raise. Hold that thought. But just to kind of, one thing I forgot at the beginning, Bill, you were supposed to remind me, is today is March 13th. And so if you're kind of wondering, you know, how this fits into the universe, in case we play this at a later time, this is current as of March the 13th. Today was also daylight savings time, and the good news is, you know, now we're on the same time zone as Dr. Lyle, so that's a plus. You can find everything about the show today at wethepeopleradio.us. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio on March 13th, 2022. Sorry, I time traveled.
Well, you did.
We were talking about 2020. Okay, forget that. On to you, Bill.
I was reaching for my mask.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, let's not relive 2020. That was a dark year.
Yeah, my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. They're our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer, and you can find them up on 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Anything John Deere, in fact, anything, any tractor, bring it in. They can fix it. They've got a great service department and fairly quick, so they can get it in and get it out for you. You can also give them a call on the phone at 226-9226. Don't interrupt my ad here.
As opposed to other ways that they would call them?
We're off track right now.
226-9226. Okay. I already know that part.
Okay, there you go.
Sorry,
or
I got bored.
Or you can catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. And I'd like to also have an honorable mention. Are you done? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump off.
I'm over here in my own area. Just go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Our friends over at Businessware, they're located at 3161 Bocelli Lane, Suite 100. And they do everything as far as your IT services and solutions. So give them a call over there. Their phone number is
223-2333.
3333. A lot of threes there, yeah. Probably not a lot of combinations you can go wrong. So, give them a call. Talk to Wayne over there. They can get you fixed up with everything from malware to all your business solutions, IT solutions. And they're good folks to work with.
Yes.
There you go.
Ta-da! And our guest today is Dr. Lyle Verpacki. And let's see. The one thing I forgot to tell you about Dr. Verpacki last time was his website. And it's actually, he has his own tab on our site. He has the Dr. Lyle tab up top, so you can find all the shows really easily. But he does a program there, and the website for that is Arizona, the number two, the word day, .com. So Arizona2day.com. And you can keep track of all those if you want a little tighter read on it.
Yeah. Hey, I would like to just
You had a question.
A Saki here and circle back.
You go, Jen.
You were saying that 30 some states are changing their ballots to make them a little harder to counterfeit. I was just curious, was California one of them?
No.
Hard pass.
You're kidding.
No.
We'll be the last.
I'm
shocked. We'll be the last one. We'll be number 58, isn't that? Don't we have 58 states? Isn't that what Obama said?
Yeah.
We'll be number 58.
I think it was 57.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sorry.
57 states.
There were 32 states that adopted the ballot that Arizona has put forward. It's counterfeit proof. There are markings within the ballot that when the ballot comes in, it's held up to light and you can tell immediately if it's fake or not.
What a good idea.
Yeah, it's if you go to my show, and I don't remember which one it is, and I, for probably 30 seconds of seriousness, I apologize, but I thank you guys so much. I did Arizona today because I wanted to tell Arizonans what had happened in their own backyard. That was a huge thing 2 years ago with Mayor Giuliani, the team, and then what came out of it was the legislative call for a forensic evaluation. All of this was historical, since America had never done anything like this before. And I just thought it'd be nice to let Arizonans know what was taking place in their own state. And it went national, and a program began called Arizona Today. It's now 2 years later, and I'm not as big as you guys, but I've got 1.4, 1.5 million people viewing Arizona Today. And
that's awesome.
It's growing, yeah. And it's a lot of work. I'm not a reporter, as you all know. I'm not a media person, so I don't do things the right way. I do it my way. And people, which is neither good nor bad, and people just simply love it. I have fun with my guests. I allow them to finish their thoughts. I ask questions. They don't know the questions beforehand. I don't set them up. But they are allowed to discuss things. Each show is about 30 minutes. Now, you'll go back and you'll see with Doug Logan, who is doing the forensic evaluation, there's a good couple of shows that are probably 40 minutes, 42 minutes, because of the topic. Same with Colonel Waldron. I think Mayor Giuliani, I did 30 minutes. I've got a couple of others getting ready to come on, and we're now struggling with, do we do 30 or do we break it up into two segments of 30 minutes, or do we let them go for 45? I mean, I'm not smart and I'm not good at this, so we're struggling with that.
Well, it's kind of interesting because the more you do it, the longer you'll want it to go because there's just so much.
I guess you're right. I'm still trying to keep it so people can listen and they're not bored, but the letters and the emails that come in, people, you go to my website, ArizonaToday.com, you see all of the shows, and some of the stuff that Bill is asking, or it's on there, and you're right, it's far more in-depth, and the experts are there, and we did begin to pull the curtain back months ago to let people know and expose what exactly had taken place, and it's quite daunting. It's a crime. It's a crime of the century, and that's all on my show. I've been very blessed to have people who have trusted me, elected officials from across the nation, and others, and I've been very blessed because they know I'm not sensational, I'm not theatrical, I don't try to get them in a corner and all that, because I think Americans need to know what's happened. We have been duped. We have been duped phenomenally, very sophisticatedly, and elections, as we've now heard, have consequences. We're living through one of them right now with Ukraine. And I believe, based on the evidence that I've seen, based on what I've learned over these last 2 years, that the elitists, the globalists that intend to collapse the United States and no longer allow us to be a sovereign nation. They want us to be collapsed into the global community. They knew that President Trump would not play that game, and so they did everything they could to remove him from day one, and eventually they cheated sufficiently where he was removed. If he had still been president, I do not believe we would be seeing what we're seeing in Ukraine today. Not because he believes that Ukraine was perfect. I think, and I'm not speaking for him, I've been very fortunate to work with several of his senior people. But I believe he realized that Ukraine was an elitist cesspool. But I think he would have handled it without attacking. I think he would have handled it much like he handled China. China basically had taken over the United States economically in many ways, manufacturing otherwise, and President Trump made America great again. And this upset beyond imagination the globalists and the elitists, because they have it all worked out that the United States will become a third-ranked power behind China, Russia, and even Iran. And that's what we're seeing take place right now, that America is really under Biden, not sure which is right, which is left, which is up, which is down. I mean, we've got the most incompetent people throughout our government running this country, and it is going to have a very serious, serious and sobering impact. Yep.
Yeah.
And they knew this, and they had to get rid of him, and they did.
Well, what kills me is they tell us, or you know, they said up front that this is what they were going to do if they got in power. You know, that,
very good point, Bill.
And people voted for him anyway.
Well, I think Harris actually said
they
loud.
They didn't vote for him. Let me back up. They didn't vote for him. But
this is why the Chinese voted for him.
Yeah. He did get kind of screwed. Biden did, because with this whole Ukrainian thing, you know, they were laundering most of his money over there, and that's a bad deal for him right now.
Yeah, but we're sending him a whole bunch more, so we're backfilling it.
Well, that's true.
So yeah, that remains to be seen how that's working out.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you though about to go back on some of the election stuff. When you guys talk to people in other states, Are they looking to, like, harden their election process going forward, or are they looking to litigate the last election?
Oh, man, that's a great question.
Stuff it, Bill. Back in the driver's seat.
That's a great question, and again, just for the record, I'm not an expert on this.
What?
I could sure...
$1.87 is value is now going down.
Yeah, but I want you to know something. Cat Pay Machinery has contacted me and wanted to know when I'll drive one of their tractors again. I just for those of your listeners who are going, what?
Yeah.
You can go back in time and you'll see me driving one of the Cat Pay Machinery.
You were on a Kubota at that time. We need to update it. We need to get you on some green machine.
Yeah, I hear the ad is in the works.
Well, they've been sad. Dr. Lyle, we know you've been busy. Okay, but will you
come back
and would you drive one of our machines again? I mean, we finally got it out of the ditch, and it's all working again. I mean,
Well, anybody who has any machinery at all is in great shape because getting anything. I mean, you know, when the shelves are empty of Top Ramen, then we're in trouble.
Yep.
Not that I eat that ramen.
That's a great question you asked because there has been, and that's what's going on in Georgia right now, where the legislature has brought forward the report showing that clear deception had taken place and clear fraud had occurred, and Haldeman had gone ahead and proven this, not opinionated. His report, which hasn't gone out publicly yet, but it will be very, very soon, I believe. It's going to elected officials and others, but it was submitted to Dominion, and it was submitted to the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, which is a very small little department within DHS, Department of Homeland Security. He, out of good faith, submitted his findings, 25,000 word findings to Dominion and to DHS, and they immediately poo-pooed him and trashed it and covered it up. And then the federal judge came along and covered it up and said there would be no more hearing on this, no more open court, no more evidence. I mean, this is a cover-up of just spectacular means, very sophisticated. It's been very daunting the last 2 years to try to get information out. But this report, as soon as I can get a copy of it, I'll send it to you. I am releasing right now to you some of this information, and I did release to my viewers and some people on my mailing list an actual report of bits and pieces that I will send to you after we hang up, and you can at least glean some information from that. But going back to your question, Aaron, there were states, again, led by Georgia, Wisconsin are two of the states. Pennsylvania is struggling right now to do the same thing. They're looking to file actions in courts, federal courts, expose the criminality of all of this. So you are correct that has been taking place. There's also other states, including those that I named, that are looking to decertify the last election and then simultaneously to make certain that we don't have a repeat in about 8 months. Mm-hmm. The midterm elections are coming up in 8 months. I'm concerned. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think you guys have had me on your show long enough, over 10 years or so, that I don't think I'm a theatrical or conspiracy theorist. But I'm concerned that we don't have some sort of crisis that would constitute a constitutional crisis, which would then suspend the elections. I am concerned. I know those. They're on several intelligence networks that I'm a part of, and we confer back and forth and exchange intel. There is a concern about that. Is it the type where we're losing sleep at night? No. But it is a concern that the Biden people, literally run by Obama and Soros, are so corrupt, so anti-American. And they make no bones about it. Bill is correct. They make no bones about it.
No.
They no longer want the United States to be a sovereign nation. They want us to be assimilated into the global community. That's why we're seeing the borders so absolutely open. We've had over 2.1 million illegals from 170 nations. I go back to my show, Arizona Today, and you'll see that I had subject matter specialists on, and we were discussing this, people coming across our borders, both Canada and Southern, are horrendous. And they're coming from 170 nations, and they are terrorists. Some have been caught, and they are terrorists. They are murderers. With hit records in Honduras, I just named countries.
And it's just one of those America. Things where now, you know, we just keep, you know, I almost feel like we're in, you know, when you talk to, like when you talk to my nephew, but when he was a little kid, you know, he was distracted by everything. And he would often say, you'd see him, he would just totally lose focus, and he'd say, something shiny just went by the window. So that became a family joke, like when you rabbit trailed, you know, something shiny just went by the window. But that's what this administration is doing, is just one unending series of something shiny just went by the window. Like, don't look at the border, now we're going to have Ukraine. No, wait, now we're going to have, you know, thing to thing to thing to keep people busy.
Oh, yeah, and you've got, you know, like you say, Lyle, the southern border is out of control.
When we come back, can we talk about that some more?
Yeah, but also, I think people need to pay attention to what's happening on the northern border. I mean, don't think the folks in charge of this country aren't looking at Canada and going, hey, they didn't really seem too upset about martial law. Maybe that's something we could pull off here and not have too many issues. I mean, it's
possible. Well, they already got everybody to lock themselves in their house for a couple of years. There's some people still doing it. Please go outside. Turn off CNN and go outside. It's fine. We've been out there. We checked for you. You're all right.
Yeah, the sun's still shining.
We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Lyle Verbacki, and you're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, I gypped you.
Damn sure wanna be working like a dog all day ain't working for me. I wish I had a rich uncle that'd kick the bucket and I was sitting on a pile like Warren Buffett. I know everybody says money can't buy happiness, but it can buy me a boat.
There you go, Lyle. You can play that in the shower. It'll get you through your day.
That was neat. Thank you. So I guess that instead of the $1.87.
There you go. You get the songs.
Because
that was the President Trump song, actually. So now you're kind of up in the rarefied air now. So what's I know our congressman here in Northern California, Doug LaMalfa, was just down at the border there at Yuma and said, oh, my God. I mean, terrifying.
Well, if you go back, I apologize because I've got multiple things going in different directions. But I think if you go back to Arizona Today, just a couple of shows ago, you'll see I had a great conversation with Sheriff Mark Daniels of Cochise County and Sheriff Leon Wilmot of Yuma County. And both of those sheriffs were discussing border issues on my show, Arizona Today. And they're very, again, very candid. They were not restricted. They were not politically correct. They knew that, they knew of my involvement for the last 15 years advising law enforcement and elected officials both in Arizona and across the country on a number of security matters. So they were very gracious to share more openly. Tomorrow, Monday, I will be in Phoenix, and I'll be recording an Arizona Today special edition, two-part, with Congressman Paul Gosar, who is leading a roundtable discussion with very high-noted individuals on the fentanyl crisis that is occurring in the United States. And so I was asked by the congressman's office if I would be the person, the I don't know what you call us, but the media, the platform by which they could record the entire special event, and then we'll produce it across the nation. And I also was informed last night that Right Side Broadcasting would like to carry it once I have it all edited and ready to go. They'd like to carry it. So that's a, I'm really humbled by that. That's huge. And what's going to be so nice is that many, many people will get firsthand briefings on the fentanyl crisis that's coming across our border, which is also part of how they wish to collapse the United States. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm not an alarmist. We are in some very, very deep trouble. And it's now gotten to the point, and again, you go back a couple of shows and you'll see the sheriffs. We were discussing it. You've got people in middle America, way up in the Northeast, that are now experiencing crimes from people from Honduras and other Guatemala and Mexico and Pakistan and Iran. And they're just 170 countries are coming across our border, and there's no stopping it. Over 2.2 million have come in just this past year, and that's not counting the getaways. That's not counting those that have been caught and been able to be returned. But those numbers, the numbers caught, the numbers returned are very low compared to what's coming across this country. And they can see that on the show that we did a couple of weeks ago. So the idea that our national security is not at risk is false. It is at risk. We're in some very, very serious trouble.
Yeah, and the whole idea that the majority of these people are being returned to their countries is just
totally false.
No, that's a complete fiction.
And they just keep repeating that. And I mean, the stats are out there. I can't believe that they can keep saying that, and people are going along with it, or maybe they're not, and they don't care. I don't know, but it's ludicrous.
Well, the plan, and Obama, this is basically Obama's third term, in essence, in many ways. What Obama very publicly, I think if we go back into the shows that I've been allowed to do with you all, we've undoubtedly discussed this, but the plan through Obama, and he made it very public, was to eliminate the middle class because in America, because the New World Order cannot survive with a thinking, innovative, creative middle class. They can't do that. They need the elites, and then they need slaves. I'm not being politically correct or theatrical. That's exactly what they're doing. They also wanted to destroy the American economy, and Obama set out to do that. The global community cannot survive with individual wealth except for the elite, the very small group. The rest of it, they have to be indentured slaves, servants. They want to eliminate all private property.
Oh, yeah.
They cannot survive again as a global community if individuals hold private property and therefore retain some wealth and some independence. They also want to destroy the American sovereignty, as I've already discussed. They want to eliminate our national sovereignty. They want to collapse us into the global community where there is no national sovereignty but regions, 10 regions. And the idea is you take the globe and you break 182 nations into regions. Each region has a leader. In this case, Canada, America, and Mexico is all part of one region, and there would be a leader over that region. But the world is split into 10 regions, and each region has a leader over it. And basically what they want is full and complete control over your life, and that you lose individuality, that you are pledged to the global community. Now, this sounds conspiratorial. We discussed it several years ago, I believe, on your show, when Obama was pushing all of this, and it's happening right in front of our eyes right now. You take a look at this entire COVID mess. That's another example of taking the population of America and turning them into sheep. They have to wear masks in their home. That came out, if you remember. You have to wear masks to take a shower. I mean, they were doing everything they could to impose their standards on America so America would lose individuality and freedoms, and they're not bashful about it.
Well, I think one thing that has brought to light is people are willing to go along with some of this stuff, but the flip side is, as far as COVID goes, I think America is pretty much done with it. I don't think they'll ever be able to put us back in a mask or keep our kids out of school. There's just been so much of an uprising over that. They're going to have to come up with a new game plan. Right now, we're all distracted with Ukraine, and that's really kind of taking the whole COVID thing off the front page. And don't get me wrong.
Well, Putin cured COVID.
Oh, I know it. See, that's one good thing about it.
I mean, you know, if we're gonna get pegged as Russian apologists, we might as well give him credit.
Yeah.
He cured COVID for us. Thank you.
But they'll come up with another emergency and try to get everybody scared, because it worked. It worked.
I think you're absolutely right, Bill, and that's why I said, I think before the break, there's at least working concern. Working. In other words, we're looking at it. We're not losing sleep. We're not being pontificating it or being wackadoo about it. But we're discussing it, that they're going to come up with some sort of emergency that will turn into a national state of emergency, which under our Constitution, if a national state of emergency is declared, you suspend elections.
Yeah.
And that's what we're looking at. I pray I'm wrong. I'll buy the coffee and bagels. And I'm not being funny, and I'm not pushing this as a conspiracy theorist. I am not that type of person. But we are looking at it because these people, Biden and all these people, are out of control. They believe they're a separate breed, that they're special, that they're born to rule over the majority, that they have abilities and insight that's far superior than the rest of us as sheep, that the American people, in this case, do not possess significant intelligence to determine their own future, so they have to determine it for us.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that they're repainting the world on the world canvas. In other words, they wipe out the canvas, and then they repaint the world the way they want it to be, without any regard for individuality, national sovereignty, et cetera, et cetera.
Well,
that's what's taking place in front of us.
Yeah, because they fundamentally, you know, we had Patrick Wood on last week. We were talking about technocracy.
He's a good man.
And that whole idea that if technocrats ran the world, everything would be so much better. And, well, we've seen how that works out. The last 2 years, the technocrats have been in charge. The elected officials have kind of had their hands tied behind their back, because most of this has been done through emergency powers and regulatory fiat and weird stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves the resources of elected people kind of out in the cold.
Well, I think this whole thing is, like you said, Lyle, I think it is heading for a national emergency. And when you start looking at the fuel prices continuing to go up,
yeah.
We heard the other day that $10 a gallon diesel is heading our way. That's going to just spike food prices and everything else. And what better reason to declare a national emergency when people start, I won't say revolting, but coming uncorked over inflation and fuel prices. And
well, it kind of shows you
who sets it all up for.
Yeah. It just shows you who's in charge, though, because their answer to that is like, go spend $50,000-$60,000 on an electric car. Like, okay, you don't get out much, do you?
No.
I mean, that's just, it's not workable for most people, and
down.
It's not workable in most places.
Yeah, I mean, they're eliminating expendable income for everybody, and people are having to choose, you know.
Mayonnaise was $4.
Money for gas and fuel.
Yeah, mayonnaise was like over $4 yesterday.
Like $4.50 a bottle.
Bill's all pissed off. It was over $2.50. You wouldn't buy it. And then it went to $3 something. I'm like, you know, we might want to get some of that. No, it's like $4 something. Well, the ship sailed.
You guys are really right on. I was out yesterday looking for a chair.
Oh, that'll cost you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I was looking for a chair, actually two, for my set. For Arizona Today, I was looking for.
Like we're sitting on right now that are so so incredible. If I could only make you understand. The 1950s are calling, and they want their little wooden stools back.
I was I'm too old for that.
Sorry.
So I was looking for a couple of chairs, and went into a furniture store, and they're a little expensive. What I was looking for, and I wasn't looking for king type things, but just something nice that I could sit so my knees are not up to my chest and it looks goofy on camera.
It didn't look like it was those toilets from preschool.
Exactly. You know, you sit there. I'm looking at, and I was looking at some chairs and averaged about $575, let's say, something like that. I'm going, geez, that's just, I just can't.
I know.
You're like, I'm going to take up woodworking.
Yeah, I'm looking at the price, and they're nice chairs, they're upholstery, but I'm not going to spend, you know. And the salesman said, yeah, they are a little expensive, but he goes, you might want to consider buying today because next week they go up 22%. And I said, what? This same chair, he goes, will go up 22% because of inflation. So I'm looking at a chair for $575 that in my unlearned ways, I figure $300, and they're right. Probably still making a profit, which I'm a capitalist, so I want everybody to make profit. But I'm thinking $300, $350 instead of $575, and yet it's going to go up 22%. That's a what? That's another hundred and some odd dollars. Somebody do the math for me.
Yeah.
It's like $120 more.
It's just a mental.
You could.
Yeah, you're like, it's a chair. Yeah. It doesn't even have a motor. I can't.
Does it have a massage and do I get coffee with it?
I can't take a friend with me on it. I mean, yeah.
Well, you could order yourself a new recliner and, you know, get it all ordered and everything, and then wait until July for it to come in because...
Yeah, you could do that in February.
Order it in February, wait till July, and that's everywhere.
Yeah.
There's just no availability.
Bill was all mad last year when he went to go to try to get a recliner at Lazy Boy, and they told him it wasn't coming in until June, and then he went in February. It's still not coming till June.
Well, now it's July. it's like, oh, my gosh.
You want to wait?
And you guys are so right, even though we're having some fun with this. Bill's right. With gas prices in some parts of California, you guys know better than I, $7 already.
Oh, yeah.
And slated to go higher. Well, that's going to have a ripple effect on food, produce, supply.
Well, that's what we're looking at. That's what's doing it. I mean, anybody who thinks that isn't going to absolutely touch every single product.
No, I had a customer last week that was upset. We had to order some parts for him, and it was about a 1-pound bag, came out of Illinois, and he wanted it second day air. It was $75 to ship a 1-pound package second day air. It's like, oh my gosh, it's
that box that I was going to send to my brother in Texas might not be going anywhere.
Yeah. We better take a break.
Yeah, we've got to take a break. But when we come back, I've got some. Let's see, diesel is $7.29, and when we return, I'll tell you where that is. And so you're listening to We the People. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Good job, Bill.
In wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad to the bone.
Oh, by the way, I figured out the shadow organizations and the Illuminati know that they're finally primed for world domination. And soon you've got black helicopters coming across the border, puppet masters for the new world order. Be aware, there's always someone that's watching you. And still the government won't admit they faked a whole moon landing. Thought control race, psychotronic scanning. Don't mind that. I'm protected cause I made this hat from aluminum foil. Where I had this foil lined in case an alien's inclined to probe your butt or read your mind. Looks a bit peculiar. Seems a little crazy. There's a big conspiracy.
Ah, can you say butthole on the radio?
It was probe your butt. They didn't say
that. Is cool. Hey, you've got to send that to me.
Yeah, I wasn't going to play it because we played it last week, but I'm like, Lyle doesn't know this one. We have not played that one for him.
Oh, you've got it. Okay, I'll take that instead of Bill's.
Yeah, because it's pretty sweet, I have to say. And you know, Weird Al, man, that guy, he hits this stuff like right on the head.
All right, you send me that piece.
I'll do that right now.
Place of Bill. Check.
Okay,
that's a deal.
Like when we were talking to
Bill, you don't have to send me the $1.87 for the show.
Okay,
you can stay away from the checkbook.
We'll get that done.
Well, we were talking to Wayne from Businessware there in the grocery store last night. We were kind of laughing, and it's like, you know, I mean, I think the memes are right. We all do need to get new conspiracy theories because all the old ones came true.
Well, I'll give you breaking news.
Yes.
Breaking news, Obama has tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yep, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure he had his shots and
the booster shots. Okay, so go back to gas prices because I did a little recon while I was messing around on the break. Okay, so in Modoc County, which is the top, the very top of the state of California,
on the eastern corner,
okay?
Northeastern corner.
It is has 8,700 people. The county is 4,200 square miles, so it's kind of a big place for 8,700 people. And in the bustling metropolis of Alturas at 4,300 foot elevation with 2,700 people, they are now paying $7.29 for diesel fuel.
Yeah.
How'd you like to, have...
Well, gas was over $6 a gallon up there, too.
A county that's 4,200 square miles and you're paying $7.29 a gallon to move around in it.
Well, and again, on the first day, that he occupied the White House, he signed an executive order eliminating all of gas production, oil production in America, Biden did, and he reversed everything Trump did to make us energy independent and also a world leader in exporting fuel. And now his mouthpiece, his White House press secretary comes on and says she doesn't understand and Biden doesn't understand why the fuel companies are not taking advantage of the 9,000 permits that they granted.
Yeah, well, right.
You know, idiot, because your boss said no. So
how could you could you imagine your job is to go say stuff like that and not actually laugh?
Oh, I don't think she cares. I think she's so socially out of it anyway. They're just prostitutes.
Well, they never leave the Beltway, and as long as you never leave the Beltway, no one will no one will challenge you.
No, no, you live in a bubble, but we are in some very serious trouble, but this is all well planned, and it's as you guys have already been talking about. We've all been. It's going to have a ripple effect on food, produce. Well, that's food also. Produce, supplies, chairs, desks, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we've gone from just in the last 2.5 years, we've gone from $95 an hour for a labor rate. And we are now $120 an hour and $130 in the field. And we're one of the cheaper ones in the area.
So how'd you like to get your riding lawnmower fixed and not have a way to haul it? So you don't have a way to haul it. You need the mechanic to come out and fix it.
Yeah, it's just getting so expensive. And, you know, we feel it. I mean, there's a dip in business right now. And I think people are really being hit hard. You know, we were talking about it the other day. You know, we had all these massive fires last year that burned, I don't know, over 1 million acres in California. You got inflation. You got gas prices. You had COVID. I mean, what's just one hit after the other, and I mean, there's a lot of businesses around here that are gone. I mean, they just couldn't hang on any longer. But like we were saying, I think all of this is going to play right into their hands when you start talking about a national emergency, because we are on the verge of that right now. I feel sorry for folks that, you know, you're out, maybe a young couple, you know, living in an apartment, wanting to buy a house, and I mean, that's completely out of reach now. But now you're working for just over minimum wage, and you have to pay $5 a gallon for gas, and upwards of $1,000 a month for daycare. I mean, it's making it very hard for people to hang
on. Well, what were eggs?
Eggs have gone from two something for an 18 pack to over $4, and it's that way. Well, the big one. I mean, I'm kind of a grocery.
Bill's the price aficionado.
I remember numbers because I work with it all the time. Cream cheese was 98 cents.
For a little box?
For a little thing of cream cheese last year. It's $3.48 now. I mean.
And they haven't had it for like 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. And then there wasn't any.
There wasn't any.
And now it came back.
Like, not even the flavor, you know, not even like not what you wanted.
Yeah.
I thought they moved the cream cheese department.
No, they just don't have
any. They just didn't have any.
And that's, I think that's a real typical thing, a typical. Things to come in the grocery world. I mean, there were empty shelves. I mean, a big grocery store, and there were empty shelves.
Yeah.
And that you just never saw that before. That's got to cost them a ton of money to have people walking up and down the rows, and they can't fill the shelves.
Well, what are you looking at in Arizona? Considering you probably run your air conditioner 10 months out of the year. Okay, I'm just guessing, but I would.
Yeah, very, very valid point, Aaron. I'm in Prescott, so it's cooler, so that helps. But we reverse that. What about if it gets really cold and we have to use heat? Same difference. We're using electricity, and that's gone up.
Oh, sure.
All across the board. Everything we're talking about, Bill saying, all of this is a ripple effect to eliminate the middle class. And with inflationary spiraling going up, that includes food, all the things we've been talking about, supplies. People are not going to be able to handle this.
No. And, no. And it's happening again, so fast. I mean, by the midterms.
Well, I think, and part of my hypothesis, you put on a whiteboard, that doesn't mean it's legit. It's just it's something you put on a whiteboard and you study and look at and talk. And that is, let's move this along as fast as we can to collapse as much as we can before the elections. So either A, there won't be an election because there's some sort of crisis, or B, if there is an election and they can't stop and derail that, that's kind of redundant. If they can't stop that, they at least create so much damage that if they do happen to lose both houses of Congress, which is what is slated, mm-hmm. that the damage is almost irreparable. And then, 2 years later comes the national election for the presidency, that they have gone ahead and destroyed America in such a fashion and weakened it in such a way that it almost doesn't matter if the Republicans do take over the houses of Congress, both houses of Congress.
Damage is done.
So there's different game plans being put on whiteboards for right now and looked at. I'm encouraging people everywhere to real true conservatives, not these rhinos, because I'm fed up with these stupid rhinos that talk the talk, but as soon as they get in, they're more concerned about their next parking space and their next office space, and we see them everywhere. But true conservatives getting in at city council level, school board levels, et cetera, et cetera. We've got to take this country back or we're done. It's over.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right, and the pace that all this change is coming at us
very quick,
and it's progressively got quicker and quicker and quicker, and I really do believe we're on the verge. I mean, of so many things, you know, we talked about a lot of them today, but so many areas we're under attack in this country, and there's no place else for people to go, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, we care about the borders of other sovereign countries. It's a sovereign country. They've had their borders violated.
Outraged.
And it's like, but wait a minute. We're a sovereign country. What about our border?
Yeah, but I don't think he's going to stop there, Ukraine. I mean, I think you're looking at Poland.
No, he's not. But still, just the hypocrisy of even talking about somebody's sovereign border when we have millions of people flooding in through ours unchecked.
I'm waiting for the Border Patrol to start picking up Canadians on the southern border.
It's easier to get in. They took a little vacay in Mexico City and they just amble
across.
On over.
Yeah, I'm not going back there. That sucks up there.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Justin's an idiot. I don't even know if they're that. Are they mean enough to say that? They might say that.
They might.
We really dislike Justin. That's probably Canadian. That's probably Canadian for burn the house down.
Yeah.
They're pretty nice. They're pretty nice up there. A lot nicer than we are, which is why it seems really dumb that our guys are doing this. And it's almost like there are no grown-ups in the room, which is terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So just so we don't completely slam into the end of the program and not thank you for coming on with us. Besides that, I found a special song all about the grocery store for all of you. You will enjoy.
Oh my goodness!
More Weird Al. I'll send you the Weird Al clips though, so you can use them because frankly, I think they're just good all the time. The black helicopters and all that. But no, we really appreciate having you on because we've been threatening to do this forever, and it was about time, darn it.
You guys have been awesome over the years. I've had a lot of fun. We've done this quite a while. If you go back,
we have.
And if we're not having fun, then we have to stop doing it because obviously the world isn't very fun and we don't want to contribute to that. All right, so we will be back next week talking about something. I forget what it is, but you're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
What kind of food you hate? You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate, so eat it. Don't you tell me you're full. Eat it, get yourself an egg.